verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2. When you have it, say agape. Amen. Hear ye the word of the Lord. And the scripture reads, therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. From this passage of scripture we want to use as a subject this morning, let the word do the work. Amen. You may be seated. Repeat that with me. Let the word do the work. Say it again. Let the word do the work. Amen. The context of 1 Peter, as I shared at the beginning, the whole context of 1 Peter is a letter to write to encourage these new believers who would be facing imminent persecution by way of Nero and all of the persecution that they were facing during that time. The context is persecution to prepare them. These are saints that are now saved. They are now saved. Say saved. We talked about this. The chapter 1 was really dealing with salvation, and we talked about the great salvation that you and I have. But I'm standing here this morning, and I believe Peter wanted them to get it just like he wants us to get it, that once we are saved, it does not stop at salvation. Amen. Salvation is the beginning of the process of what God is doing in our lives, and he starts with salvation. But God does not want us to stay as babes in Christ. God desires that we grow to become more like Jesus Christ. Have I got a witness? Understanding this, Jesus Christ, think of salvation. When you're baptized, you come out of the water, everybody's excited. Reminding me of Matthew chapter 4 after Jesus was led into the wilderness. But at the latter part of chapter 3, it says he went down, and when he came up out of the water, heaven opened up and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And the voice of God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And that reminds me of the new believer that comes to Jesus Christ. We go down in baptism and we come up a brand new, born again. That's symbolic of being born again. We've been made new. Well, it's at that moment, it is at that time that you and I really, really need to dig into the Word of God and dive into the Word of God. Because if we look at the life of Jesus Christ, right after he came up out of the water, the Bible says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And how did he overcome? It is written. It is written. It is written. Saints of God, I stand before you today that you better know it is written. When the trying times come in your life, when difficult times come in your life, you better know it is written. You better know what is written, because the Word of God has a way of allowing us to overcome trials and temptations that come into our lives. Let the Word do the work. Let the Word. See, after salvation, we can't stay babies. No, we've got to grow up. And the only way that you're going to grow is to allow the Word of God to have its way in our lives, in our hearts, and in our lives. Amen. Hebrews 4:12 says it like this. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God is alive. Are y'all with me this morning? This is a living word. It is alive. This word has the power to transform your life. Listen, you may not be able to explain all the history of the Bible. You may not be able to explain all the archaeology that entails scripture. You may not be able to explain all the scientific evidence of the scripture. But if you've applied this word to your heart and you've seen changes in your life, you can just tell about how the Word of God changed you. Have I got a witness? You don't have to go to seminary. Listen. If the Word of God was applied to your heart and it changed you and it transformed you, you got enough to tell the whole world about. Yeah. Have I got a witness this morning? Listen. This word will turn your life around. Turn your life around. I know what I'm talking about. I applied this word to my life. And look at God. Look at God. Look at God. So we've got to allow the word to do its work in our lives, in our lives, in our lives. And so the first thing that we've got to understand is this. I've got 4 points I'm going to talk about. The first one is this. We got to learn to drive out negative thoughts and actions from the word, by the word. Got to allow the word to drive out negative thoughts and actions. Negative thoughts and actions. We got to allow the word to drive out negative thoughts and actions. How many of you ever get a negative thought? Amen. Come on now. Come on now. Negative thoughts. Let's look what the text says. He says, therefore. Let me just stop right there. We need to find out what that therefore is there for. And how you find out what that therefore is there for is you got to go back. You go back and look at verse 23, and the scripture says, for you have been born again. You have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living, abiding word of God. Word of God. Then verse 25, it says this, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And then it says, and this is the word which was preached to you. And so he takes us back to the salvation experience. It was by the word of God that you and I were saved. Paul said it in Romans, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by the word of God. So he goes back and he reminds us of our salvation first, reminds us of our salvation. But we've got to allow the word to drive out negative thoughts. This is removing and ridding ourselves of stinking thinking. Getting rid of that stinking thinking. Look. He says, putting aside all malice. Getting rid of, that's what that putting aside means, getting rid of it. Got to get rid of those negative thoughts and negative actions. He says, lay aside all malice. Well, what is malice? What is malice? Malice is a wickedness as a habit of the mind. That you just think wicked stuff. Wicked stuff. Thinking of ways to hurt somebody. Malice, hateful feelings, hostility, just want to cut somebody. He's got to get rid of that. Get rid of that. Then he says guile, all guile. What is that? Being a trickster, baiting folks, trying to put a fish hook in somebody. People can't trust you. Setting traps for folks. Listen, that is the same spirit of the religious people during Jesus' day. All they tried to do was set a trap for Jesus. The religious people. Let me take my time this morning. See, religious folks are the ones who you better watch out for. Oh, yeah. See, Jesus, when he condemned, he always condemned religious people. Uh-huh. And the religious folks are the ones who will sit back and try to set a trap on you. Are y'all with me this morning? That's the same spirit. And they'll come in, they look good. Y'all remember that sermon on false advertisement? When Jesus cursed that fig tree, that was symbolic of the religious people of the day. Religious folks look good. That fig tree looked good from a distance. But when Jesus got close to it, he realized that it was nothing but figs. It wasn't no figs on it. It was all leaves. It was all leaves. And the leaves made it look like it was good, but it had no figs on it. And religious people will look good, but you better watch out for them. They'll put a hook in your mouth in a heartbeat. Listen, this is what we've got to rid ourselves of this. Now, you know what's crazy about this? These are believers. He's talking to believers. We've already established that. Get rid of that malice, guile, hypocrisy. Ooh, hypocrisy, that's acting. Being an actor or an actress. Coming to church acting. Not real. Fake. Phony. Then he says envy. Being jealous. Jealousy. Church folks. S- slander. Said, get rid of all of that stuff. Defamatory evils, trying to hurt somebody's reputation. Speaking false lies against people to tear them down. Slandering folks in the church. We've got to allow the word of God to drive that stuff out. The only way it's going to go is by the word of God. Word of God. Listen, let me show y'all. I'm going to give you an example. In Genesis chapter 4, dealing with Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. One offering was accepted by God. Abel's, Cain was rejected. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Here's the word. The word has to drive some of this stuff out. He says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. God gave him a word. God gave Cain a word. Now, Cain did not appropriate that word to his situation and to his heart. And then look what happened. Now, Cain said to his brother Abel, trickster, sly, let's go out to the field. Let's go hunt. Let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Now, listen. Had he taken the word of God and applied the word of God to his situation, he would not have fallen. Are y'all with me this morning? We've got to allow the word of God to penetrate our heart, and we need to be obedient to the word of God. When it comes to the word of God, he's not concerned about our opinion. No. We just need to be obedient. God doesn't care about how we feel about his word. Just obey his word. Trying to rationalize, just do it. Like Nike, just do it. If God said it, that's settled. It's over with. Just do it. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we're talking about these negative thoughts and all of this stuff. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ. In other words, when that thought pops in your head about hurting somebody or talking about somebody or trying to trick somebody or get over on somebody, you got to take that thought captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ. You cannot allow that thing to continue to just meditate and dwell in your head. You can't just allow that thing to hang around in your head. Oh, you better deal with it quick. That's what he was trying to get Cain to understand. Cain, you better grab a hold of that. I see where you're at. And see, God sees every intention. Every intention of the heart. God sees every intention of the heart. And you and I got to apply the word to those negative thoughts and drive them out as soon as possible. Don't sit there and meditate on that stuff. Don't sit and meditate on that. You walking, minding your own business, and she walked by, brother. Take that thought captive. Say amen, brother. Sisters, take that thought captive. Amen. Don't let that thing run wild. Bring it to obedience. Bring it under subjection of the word of God. Word of God. Jesus said it like this. I tell you the truth. If you've lusted after a woman, man, you've already committed adultery. You don't have to commit the act. Amen. He said it's adultery if you thought about it. That's the word. Take captive, bring that stuff under subjection of the word. Let the word do the work. Let the word do the work. And listen, we're talking about church people, y'all. He was speaking to church people. And let me tell you something. We've got to be able to allow the word to do the work individually, but the word also has to do the work as a church. Are y'all with me this morning? See, Paul dealt with that in 1 Corinthians. There was some stuff going on in the church of Corinth. They had a lot of stuff going on in the church of Corinth. There is nothing new under the sun. Same stuff that was going on then is still going on now in the church. There are hypocrites. There are slanderers. There are people who are envious and jealous. All that stuff is still going on in the church. But Paul dealt with it. Let me show you. We're talking about the church. 1 Corinthians 5:9-13, he says this. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world or with the covetous or the swindlers or with idolaters. But then you would have to go out of the world. Listen, you can't miss him. You can't miss him. He's not talking about the world. He says, but actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother. You can go and put sister there too. So-called brother or sister, if he or she should be an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler. It says not even to eat with such a one. Can't even eat with him. So-called brother, so-called sister. If they are immoral, if they are living lives apart from God, if they are non-repentant, if they are non-repentant, the Bible said you're not even supposed to be eating with them. Why are you hanging around them, eating with them, a so-called brother? See, that's what happens. It confuses the world. That's why we can't hang out with them. But look, this is what I love, verse 12, it says this. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges them. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. Now, you know, we live in an age where people don't like accountability. I'm talking about church folks right now. I'm dealing with church. We're talking about letting the word do the work. Listen, I shared with y'all a couple weeks ago that if there's a brother or sister that's caught in sin, we owe it to that brother or that sister to go to them in love and tell them their fault. Hopefully they'll repent. We win our brother or sister. If not, take two or three witnesses. If they still don't, bring it to the church, which is the elders in this case. But here it is. The Bible says right there, you know, somebody always say, well, only God can judge me. Don't be judging me. Anybody ever told you that? You speaking to another believer. Don't be judging me. Why are you trying to judge me? No, look, you got a scripture now that tells you that you are to judge. We're to judge each other. We're to hold each other accountable. So all of that don't fly. Don't come at me with that. No, only God is my judge. No, that's not what the text says. We're to judge each other. We are to judge each other. Now you got ammunition the next time somebody tells you, stop judging me. No, I'm holding you accountable because I love you. This is your response. God will deal with non-believers. That's who he deals with. We have to police ourselves. And see, what happens is if we allow sin to continue to just hang around, then it messes up the growth of the church. It will stunt the growth of the church if we just allow people to live and do whatever they want to do. That's why it has to be confronted. In love. That's why you can't just let stuff go. When you hear somebody just kind of whispering something or somebody doing something that's not of the word of God, you got to love them enough to say, come on, sister, brother, you can't do that. We trying to grow. We trying to hold on to this love, that always and forever love. Come on now. Listen, this thing is real. We've got to allow the word to drive negative thoughts and actions out of our lives. Secondly, we must desire the word like newborn babies desire milk. We must desire, say desire. We must desire the word like newborn babies desire milk. Look at verse 2a, it says, like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word. Newborn babes desire the word like newborn babies. Listen, babies let you know when they want milk. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And it says like newborn babies, newborn infants. When the baby comes into the world, when that mother gives birth to that baby wants something in their mouth. They want milk. They want milk. They want milk. And what the Bible is saying is that you and I must desire it just like a baby desires to have that milk. All them babies will let you know when they want milk. All them babies turn it up a notch when they want milk. Oh, you'll find out that baby gonna be a soprano, tenor, or alto when they want milk. When they want milk, they'll let you know. They let you know. Listen. Health professionals recommend that breastfeeding begin within the first hour of a baby's life and continue as often and as much as the baby wants. In other words, the sooner the better. The sooner the better. The sooner the better. And the same applies with us. The moment we have been born again, the moment that you and I have been born again,
It is critically important that we begin longing and desiring and drinking on the milk of God's word. Milk of God's word. You can't be waiting around trying to get to the word of God, especially when troubles come. Oh, you got to have some word in you. You got to have some nutrition in you. And that comes from the pure milk of the word. Not only that, according to Wikipedia, deaths of an estimated 820,000 children under the age of 5 could be prevented globally every year with increased breastfeeding. With increased breastfeeding. Listen, 820,000 children under the age of 5, the deaths of 820,000 children could be prevented globally every year with increased breastfeeding. Breast increase. In other words, giving them natural, pure milk from that mother increases those lives. And I believe we have a dead church today. I believe the church is not impacting as it really could be because there are saints who are still babies who are not nurturing and drinking the pure milk of the word. Bunch of babies. And eventually what happens is if you're not partaking of the milk of the word, you're going to die off spiritually. Have no power, have no strength, no vitality. You know, look, the church of the living God is the most powerful entity on planet earth. The church. Jesus says, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I read this a long time ago. Someone wrote, and I quote, I don't remember who wrote it, but I remember the saying. It says, an unholy church will never win an unholy world. An unholy church will never, never, never win an unholy world. Listen, if we're not feeding on the word and the word is not having its way in our life, we can't impact anything. But when you and I dive into the word and the word is having its way and the word is transforming our lives, we'll turn this world upside down for Jesus. But the word has to have its way in our lives. And listen, 1 Corinthians 3, we're talking about the pure milk of the word. Milk of the word, 1 Corinthians 3. Paul said it, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and are you not walking like mere men? See, pursuing the things of the flesh, if you are pursuing things of the flesh as a believer, you're still a baby. That's the word. I didn't say that. That's the word. And this is Paul again speaking to the church at Corinth. I can't give you dealing with the deep doctrines of scripture and all that entails. I've got to keep feeding you milk. I'll never forget a pastor. Pastor shared this at a conference. He said he took over this church. This church was 100 plus years old. Took over this church. He straight out of seminary, won the preacher's award in seminary. I mean, he was excited about embracing this new church. Said he got in that church and went to exegete and scriptures and given all the Greek and Hebrew and the background, all the foundation, all the context. I mean, he just laid out a great sermon. And he said he about choked the whole congregation. Said, you know, they were mad at him, going off on him. And he said, now, wait a minute, I'm just giving y'all the pure word. I went down line for line, exegeting this scripture, and y'all are upset. And they said, well, no, you didn't hoop. Anybody don't know what hooping is? Hooping, he said, show us. that hooping is that gravy on the end. That's the gravy on the end, gravy on the end, gravy on the end. But what he said, he realized, God helped him to realize that congregation was used to junk food. They had been fed junk food for years. For years. And he's trying to stuff a steak down their throat. And they used to lollipops. And what God wants us, we start with the milk. But at some point in time, that baby has to come off of that milk. Can't keep drinking. You can't keep drinking Similac. You 40? No. No, it ought to be some real food at some point in time. And we should long, he says, desire it long for the pure milk of the word. Listen, it's critically important that we desire the pure milk. See, the word pure means that it's not contaminated. And that there's no tricks in it. And see, that's why we have to take the pure milk, because it gets rid of all of that trickster stuff. All of that stuff that needs to be flushed out. The word of God will do that when it has its way. And we have to desire it. Desire it so much so that you come out today in the rain. Don't look at somebody and say, oh man, you desire it. You hungry. You want to be fed today. You came out in the rain this morning. You want it so bad. So bad, you'll come out in the rain. Want it so bad, you'll get here at 8 o'clock. Get here at 8 o'clock for morning manna. Want it so bad, you come out on Wednesdays for refuel. Oh, I got to have it, I desire it. Got to make my way to the house, I want some milk. Ready to eat. You have to desire it and long it so bad. See, that's the problem. Our desires are in the wrong direction. Ooh. Desires in the wrong direction. Desires is an empire. That desire is so strong, you'll stay at home to watch Empire and not come to church for refuel. Ooh. Strong desire. Y'all know about strong desires. No. We should desire the pure milk of the Word of God. Not only that, number three, we will develop spiritual maturity because of the Word. Verse 2b says that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. That by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Listen, when the word has its way in our lives, when the word has its way in our heart, growth is imminent. You will grow. If you're feeding on the word of God, you will grow. And God expects us to grow. He wouldn't be giving us this word. He expects us to grow. He expects us to mature in the faith. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, we went through this entire book. But I want to read this passage beginning at verse 11. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Gifts that Christ gave to the church. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This is what he gave to the church. Why did he give it? The responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. Mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And so God has equipped the church with teachers, pastors, evangelists, apostles to teach the congregation, to equip the congregation to do the work of the ministry. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And so God has given me a vision for our church. And I just want to paint this picture. You're going to be seeing a whole lot more of this. But we have, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a doctrinal class. God has laid it on my heart to start teaching doctrinal classes. Doctrinal. This is some solid food stuff. This is some solid food stuff that we're going to be talking about. Understanding who God is. You know, it's amazing that Christians can't even explain the God who they believe in. But we don't want agape to be that way. Amen. We want to equip the saints of agape to be able to give an answer for the hope that is in them. And so we're going to start an 8-week course on who is God. Understanding who God is. 8-week course. We laying out a spread for you all to come and eat solid food. If you want something solid, come to this, because this is solid. It's solid, 8 weeks. But then God also gave me another vision with the church. It's just picture a baseball diamond. Picture a baseball diamond. And so you start off at home base. Start off at home. You go up to the plate, you got to swing the bat. It's your time to bat, you got to get to the plate. So that's salvation. That's where it starts, salvation, right? And so at that point, either salvation or you're a new member of Agape. Well, first base is discipleship. That's cornerstone. That's being in morning manner. Just getting disciple. Being disciple. That's first base. Then after first base, you get the second base. That's where you got to get out the boat. You need to be serving in ministry, in the church, using your gift to the glory of God on second base. Then from second base to third base is where now you're moving. You're getting close to home, but you're moving to third base. And on third base, now you ought to be discipling somebody. Amen. You ought to be a facilitator by this time. Amen. See the small groups. Oh, yeah. See the small groups. The small groups have gotten so comfortable with each other. Y'all love each other so much. Oh, y'all close. Y'all tight. Oh, y'all tight. Y'all tight. Y'all don't even want to lead a group. But listen, when you on third base, now it's time to become a discipler. It's time to disciple. Me and Jesus says, go and make disciples. And so once you get the third base, you ought to be discipling somebody. You ought to be training somebody to take your position, take the area of ministry that you are in. And y'all know, from third base, guess where you going? Going on home, going on home, going on home. So here it is, here it is. You ought to fall somewhere in that category. Now, if you've been a member, we ain't but 3 years old. I almost said 10 years. But if you've been a member at 3 years, you shouldn't still be on first base. Are y'all with me this morning? No, you ought to be rounding second and maybe going to third or at least headed to second. No, you should be at second if you've been there 3 years. You should already be serving. Let me qualify that. Let me fix that right away. But that's the vision. That's the vision for the church. We ought to be growing. We ought to be moving. We should not still be at home plate. Striking out. Waiting on a walk. Swing that bat. It's important. It's important. If we are going to grow, we have to apply the word of God to our lives. James said it like this: be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Doers of the word. Now look, you can hear all this, oh, pastor, what a sermon, what a sermon, what a sermon. But if you don't go home and live it, what difference does it make? We've got to apply this word to our lives. 2 Timothy 3, 16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Look, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. We will develop spiritual maturity because of the word having its way in our lives. Finally, we must remind ourselves of how delicious the word is. Oh, look at that, look at that, look at that. Remind ourselves of how delicious the word is. Look what he says in verse 3. He says, look, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And really, really, we already know that they are believers. We already know that they've experienced salvation. So what Peter really is saying, look, since you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, the grace of the Lord. And what Peter now has done is he's taken them back to when they first heard the gospel, when they were saved, when you and I were saved. He's taken us all the way back to our salvation. He said, since you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Anybody tasted the kindness of the Lord? Listen, that's the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Didn't it taste good when you heard the gospel and you realized that all of your sins are forgiven, all of your sins past, present, and future already covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? When you tasted of the kindness, of the grace of God, we ought to remind ourselves. We have to remind ourselves of the deliciousness of the word of God. Look, Jeremiah 15:16 says it like this. Thy words were found and I ate them. And thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I ate them. Ate the word of God. And they became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. David said, Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Listen, we have to remind ourselves of how delicious the word of God is. Listen, when we were saved, God wasn't through with us at salvation. God wanted us to continue to taste his word, continue to taste how good he is, continue to feed on his word and see how good it is. And so you and I have to allow the word to continue to have its way in our life. We have to continue to taste the word of God, feasting on the word of God. Anybody in here continually tasting on the word of God? Listen, I've been studying this passage and I've been meditating on this passage. And each time I think about it, I get more and more excited because I begin reflecting on the word of God. You know, in John 3:16, I tasted John 3:16 that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I tasted Psalm 37:23 that says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he takes delight in all of his ways. I tasted Philippians 4:6-7 that says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your mind and heart in Christ Jesus. I tasted Revelations 3:20 that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me. I tasted Numbers 23:19 that says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and shall he what not do it? Has he spoken it and will he not make it good? I tasted John 8:36 that says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I tasted Romans 8:37 that says, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I tasted Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. I tasted Isaiah 41:10 that says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll hold you with my righteous right hand. Anybody ever tasted the word of God and realize how delicious it is? You know, it reminds me of Luby's down the street. Luby's down the street has a buffet. They got a buffet. Not all Luby's got buffet, but this one right here on Walsham has a buffet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you get in Luby's, you go to the end of the line. You get your tray and you get your silverware. Then they've got a salad bar right there. All you can eat salad. All you can eat. And then if you get your salad, you go down, they got Jell-O right there. They got green Jell-O, red Jell-O, grape Jell-O. It's all right there. Then you move on down in the line. Now you got fish, broiled fish, fried fish, grilled fish. Then you got baked chicken, fried chicken. Then you got mashed potatoes. They ask you what kind of gravy you want. Do you want cream? Do you want brown? It's up to you, whichever one you want. They got green beans. They got spinach. Then they've got rolls with nice butter on them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Got butter all on the roll. All you got to do is pick which one you want. Then they got dessert. Hey, 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 hey. Now they've got dessert. They got apple pie. They got cheesecake. They got all of that dessert right there. Then you're going to have to wash it down. You can get lemonade. You can get Coke, Sprite, or Dr. Pepper. If you want tea, they got it sweet or unsweet. Whatever it is that you want. But here's the catch. You get to the end of the line. When you get to the end of the line, they survey everything on your tray. And then they charge you based on that. That's their buffet. And it's all you can eat. You can go back as many times as you like. It's totally up to you. But they charge you at the end of the line. But the buffet that I'm talking about, see, you got to pay at the end of that buffet. But the buffet that I'm talking about, the buffet that I'm talking about, the price has already been paid. The price has already been paid. And all you got to do is get in line, tell him what you want, dive into his word. He'll give you everything that you need. Everything that you need. Taste and see. Hey, hey, hey. Let the word do the work. All you got to do is go through the line. Price already been paid. Paid in full. Paid in full. Let the word. 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 Oh, you got to feast on the word of God.